If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, which brings decades of industry expertise and a dedication to quality to the creation of the first Thing Spotting podcast. After revolutionizing the Thing industry, It's a Thing continues the tradition of making high-quality, reliable podcast design for a dynamic world. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Molly. You know, today we have some amazing things to show you, and we'll go to the first one in just a moment. But first, our Vice President of Engineering.
Here to show you what this future could really look like.
Oh my God, that was so good. That was so good.
Bravo, Rich. Bravo.
Well done.
It's
well
from
done.
Swing
yes.
Lines About Us page. Swing Lines. Oh, my God. Look at Rich. He's just innovating on the show. Like, he's just quietly innovating the show and making it so much better like he does. Amazing.
It's the best.
Amazing.
All right. I'm going to start with a thing that I heard in the wild. I was out and about. We were at a Japanese restaurant that does brothless ramen. Delicious, by the way. And we were waiting in line. Definitely, by 10 years, the oldest people at this restaurant on a Sunday. and listening to all the 20-somethings waiting outside to get into this hot restaurant. And I hear multiples of them talking about pre-gaming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we pre-gamed at such and such house. Or like, well, the thing you have to remember about pre-gaming is, you know, like, well, I think I'm going to pre-game later over at Bob's or whatever. I've heard the
Bob's
term before, right? Mm-hmm. I definitely have heard the term before, but it was definitely not Bob. But I was like, okay, so this is something that I feel like, you know, in my 30s and 40s, maybe we would say occasionally as a joke, but it is now just a term. Like, they were not throwing around as like pregame, ha ha ha. It was like, that's the word for what you do when you go to someone's house and you drink ahead of time before you go out so that you can save money and have a buzz on and not spend the high club prices. And I found a Thrillist article that bears that out. This Thrillist article actually gives you guidance on how to pregame properly.
Wow. Yeah, pregaming has been a thing. I wonder if it's gotten more popular in the pandemic, mainly because there was more just having to do stuff at home and things weren't open. And so now everybody's like, well, you just pregame. That's all you do. For a while, you only pregame because that was the only game. And now you're so used to it that maybe you pregame everything.
Yeah. I think Ben Redux kind of nailed what I noticed sitting outside that restaurant, which is, it's not that pregaming is new or even calling it pregaming is new. It's that the way Ben says, mm-hmm. it's no longer a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's definitely mainstream.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, you pregame. That's the word. It's always, you know, these kids, they're like, it's always been called that. That's just the English word for doing that. There was such a tone that was missing where like, hey, you got a pregame? Yeah, let's pregame. Cool. Like, no, that was not part of it at all. This was like, so you pregame, where are you pregaming? Oh, I pregamed last night. It was just like accepted terminology.
It's the matter
slang.
Of factness that sends it into the thingosphere. Exactly. When everybody's just like, it's assumed that that is what you will do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we really called it pregaming when I was in college, which granted was during George Bush the first's term. Actually, Reagan technically was still president when I started college. But the idea is not new. It's the terminology that I'm identifying here.
Yep, totally. And I think just the consistency of the activity. It's not like a special type thing. It's just a like, oh, yeah. No, you always do that.
Right.
Because we're apparently just a nation of drunks.
And the fact that the Thrillist has, you know, like guides, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is good.
I actually also would like to go back to a thing that you just mentioned that I also recently had, and I'm wondering if it's new, which is brothless ramen.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a new thing?
Bubbling under, yeah. Except not bubbling because there's no broth.
Because there's no broth.
Yeah. That may be a side thing to this.
Yeah.
You know, thing with a side of thing here.
A thing with a side of thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up because I just was at a restaurant that had it too. And it was like a fancy ramen place that now has brothless. And I was like, wait, is this?
And this place was all brothless. They did not serve you a ramen with broth.
And there was a big line of hipster youngsters. And there was a pre-gamers.
And we were the, I mean, come on. What am I doing? That's the real thing here.
Bro. Like,
yeah.
Brothless ramen.
Mm-hmm.
Which honestly is A, just noodles. But B, great, because it's so much easier to eat. You can like dip it a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they give you extra rice for free at the end. If you've got a little bit of like sauce and pork, we got ground pork in ours. If you know, you can get chashu on top of it, but there's also ground pork in it. If you've got a little bit of that left at the end, you want to sop up, they'll bring you a little like tiny ball of rice that you can put in there and sop it up.
Oh, heck yeah. You know what they call it? Soupless, actually.
Soupless.
Soupless ramen. I'm hitting the news tab. Yeah, seems to be. Okay, so you got a 2-for-1 there. Giving you a 2-for-1.
I mean, that's the value we bring to you here at It's a Thing.
We can find a thing inside a thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes the thing, the most important thing is the thing you met along the way to the other thing.
Exactly. All right. I've been sitting on this thing, but now is the week because it is about to be the only thing that anybody's talking about, even though right now it's the thing that half of the people I know are talking about. And that thing is Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Yep. Totally. For both the topic and the show to come out. So for those of you who don't know, Cowboy Bebop is an existing anime series that has quite a following and is being made into a Netflix live action series. And for whatever reason, maybe, you know, we've talked about anime being, I think last year we talked about anime being like a thing, like a much more mainstream thing than you thought it was. And so maybe it's the crossover of that with this live action thing that has made Cowboy Bebop be like the thing on everyone's lips. But I have a secret theory, which is another bit of a thing within a thing. And that theory is that the reason this is such a big deal is John Cho. Like, let's be honest. John Cho
is the best. Soupless ramen of your Cowboy Bebop thing.
He is the soupless ramen of my Cowboy Bebop thing. I think that there is such a secret cult love. I mean, you combine that with like anime and then just how fun this looks. It starts streaming on Friday, but like it is all anybody's talking about.
And not all of the talk is positive.
Oh, no.
Because it is such a beloved anime that there is a as you might expect, cadre of folks who don't want change. They don't want a new version of Cowboy Bebop. They just want the anime that they love from the 90s. Gosh darn it.
Mm-hmm. Gatekeepers. To which
I'm here to say I have seen all of Cowboy Bebop, the live action Netflix version.
What? Already? Because
Eileen got screeners.
Man.
And I wasn't allowed to talk about it until 2 days ago. So on the Cord Killers After Talk, I gave like my full breakdown of it. But the short version is I don't have an attachment to the anime. I had seen one episode of the anime once at a friend's house a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I had a great time. It's certainly not perfect, but you're right. John Cho is amazing. And honestly, Daniela Pineda, I think, steals the show. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that story doesn't have Faye Valentine in it more because she's incredible as well. So get ready for that. It's got like a Twin Peaks vibe with all the jazz and the noir and all of the stuff. And a lot of that I know came from direct from the anime. I just thought it was darling. I enjoyed it.
Yes. Good. I'm glad to hear that because I have no need to gatekeep this. I'm not an OG fan. One of the people who was talking to me about it today is an OG fan and is still excited about it. But either way, like it's one of the things that, like, I feel like it's been a long time since a new thing came out that I was this excited about. I mean, I guess I was like kind of excited for Foundation, but it turned out to be really boring.
turned out that philosophical tracts, really, really difficult to turn into good TV.
Right. And then even when you try to turn into good TV, you still finish it being really boring. It's just so boring. But yeah, no, I'm thrilled about this. I'm thrilled that people are excited about it. I'm just not going to read the gatekeeping things because I don't care that it's a pale imitation of the original, as the Atlantic called it. Whatever, Atlantic, get over yourself.
I'll be honest. I've actually watched a few of the animes since watching the live action. And in the reverse, it's like, oh yeah, this is like a primitive, dated version of the thing I saw on Netflix.
Yes.
Is how it strikes me.
Fighting words.
So I know that's like fighting words for somebody who loves the anime. It's all about perspective. It's all about what you came to. I will not criticize someone who says, you know what? I just love the anime so much. I can't get into the live action because I love that anime so much. I used this on Cord Killers when we were talking about it. I love Crash Landing on You, the Korean drama about a woman who accidentally crash lands in North Korea and meets a North Korean soldier and hides out and falls in love. Love that. They're going to make an English language remake of that. And I have no interest in seeing that because I love the original, but that doesn't mean that I should trash anyone who wants to see the English language one.
Yeah.
Go watch it. It might be great. Have fun.
Have fun.
And I feel like that's the Cowboy Bebop anime partisans should let other people enjoy however they want to.
Yes.
Because honestly, being on the other side of that one, I'm like, that was a good time. Yeah. You're in for a good time.
Good. Great. I'm ignoring everybody else. I'm super excited about it. And to everybody who has talked to me about it has had nothing but positive things to say. And so I'm super stoked.
Spike Spiegel, jazz. It's so good. I can't wait for you to watch it. So we can talk about it. All right. The next one comes from a Wall Street Journal article out this week from Rory Satran that kids, well, influencers, mm-hmm. but then a lot of kids following, are rocking corded headphones as a backlash against AirPods. AirPods are for the olds. AirPods and earbuds and Google Buds, Pixel Buds, all of that stuff. That's for the olds. The retro cool look, if you're Zoe Kravitz or Bella Hadid, is to wear some good old-fashioned corded headphones. They don't have to be mini jack. They could be lightning. Doesn't matter. Just put that cord on so people know you're busy. They know you're listening to something.
I love it. Like, I love this. And I tweeted about this when this article came out, and I'm so glad that you put it in here because I had actually had several conversations that exact week with people where I was just like, I'm just going back to wired headphones. These things don't work.
Corded IT girl, are you?
I'm a corded IT girl. And all these girls.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And all the other girls that I was talking to, like three or four of them, were like, yeah, I've also gone back to corded headphones because AirPods don't work. So I like that they're turning it into like a cool, like a hipster thing and a rebel and a blah, blah, blah. The truth is those things cost $250. They never connect to your GD phone and you can never find them. And the thing where it will only play a noise after you've already located it and opened the case might be the stupidest like UI thing I've ever seen. Like you could, what? But so anyway, all that is to say, totally had this conversation. Couldn't have been more thrilled when I saw this article and agree.
Yeah. And I get it. I actually think corded headphones might be headed for a vinyl track.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Where wireless AirPods are still probably the better choice for most people. But there are certain situations where you're like, you know, and I won't take it as far as saying the music just sounds better on the corded headphones. Although I bet somebody's going to try to make that claim. But I think there are people like, yeah, but, and all the reasons you just gave, like, I don't like losing them. I don't like not being able to find them. They don't always connect. And you know what I know connected? When I plugged it into the darn phone itself.
Totally.
Problem is, a bunch of these phones are going to go portless within the next 2 years.
That's it. That's when I mean, as it happens, like retro everything is kind of back now, including retro phones.
Well, that's the other thing that makes me feel so old is that corded headphones are retro.
I mean, how weird is that? Exactly. Like AirPods right. have only existed for like 2 years.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
fine. Fine. Like, I love this. I love the idea that we'd be like, you know what? No, I just want an old phone with a, like a replaceable battery and expandable storage and a headphone jack. Like,
now,
let's please have this revolution. I am here for it.
Now, Ad Porter is saying, just like Apple laptops did, Apple laptops didn't go portless. In fact, they kept their mini jack port through the whole thing. But I know what Ad Porter's saying, which is Apple tried to switch to only USB-C. And in their latest model of laptop, they went back to giving you an HDMI port and an SD card reader because people still want that. So you may be right, Ad Porter. They may go portless and then change their mind because people want it. That'll be interesting to watch.
It will
to
be.
See if there's enough demand of the wired IT girls out there to make them come back to putting a headphone jack or a USB-C port or something in there.
I wonder too, because like once you see Bella Hadid on the street with the wired headphones, it's like, how far along is your product planning, Apple?
Well, I mean, yeah, in your neighborhood, my neighborhood at Zoe Kravitz, but you know, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, you know, like same. Although I guarantee those old white guys haven't noticed, and they're definitely going to like force a portless phone on us, and I'm going to be like, no.
There's definitely going to be a move to portless because it saves you a lot of room inside to give to battery. And since, as anyone who's listened to Mollywood knows, we haven't quite got the battery tech that we want yet, even in phones.
Oh God, I'm getting one of those. I'm gonna get one of those retro, like the relaunch Nokia. The brick phone.
Yeah.
That looks just gonna amazing. Go
right back, all the way back.
Maybe.
Or back like to just reality.
Like old Android phone. $40. Mm-hmm. Like
what was the was it a Palm brand they tried to put out that had like no screen, which was odd? No, maybe it wasn't Palm, but there was somebody put out a phone with no screen.
That's excessive.
Yeah. To be like, this is the phone for when you just want to disconnect.
Oh yeah. What was that?
It was an accessory phone. Thank you, Rich.
Was it the one from Palm? The one that like Steph Curry was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that Palm? That's the part I can't remember for sure. Is it whether it was Palm branded or something else? But
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because Palm did have one, right? Alfie James. It was the Palm Companion. Oh, okay. Thank you. Perfect.
I don't know why we couldn't think of that word. It was like an accessory phone. It went along with your other phone. It was like a friend.
Oh, duh.
It flew for free on airplanes. What is the word?
It had a pass.
All right. On to your feedback. Feedback at itsathing.me. Thank you for the interesting thing spotting and the comments. And more importantly, Aaron, with an essential thing follow-up. I appreciate that you are all out here in the world being guinea pigs for this show. Aaron says,
thank you, Aaron.
As promised, my girlfriends and I tried the Dalgona Espresso Martini last night. Took a few attempts to get the right balance, but we settled on one part Bailey's, one part vodka, two parts espresso or cold brew coffee, and top with Dalgona whip. It was so delicious, I had to.
Master.
And sent a photo of the girls enjoying the concoction. She said the red lips are in honor of Red, Taylor's version, because she is definitely a thing. That is true. Taylor has had a moment this week.
Oh yeah, because of the I'm only going to do one song on Saturday Night Live, bucking the trend, but that song will be 3,000 minutes long.
Oh really? Oh, I haven't seen it.
No, I think it was like literally was like 10 minutes, but she only had, there was only one musical guest break, which is a huge break with tradition.
It is, and it was a whole ass concert.
Yes, pretty much. I will play all of the Red album twice. No. Aussie Lee has an email on introverts. As people become more comfortable hanging out in person, I've noticed many extroverts I work with are surprised that their social energy levels have been greatly diminished since the pandemic began. Mm-hmm. Folks who were recently very excited to attend a 3-day offsite work event reported running out of people energy completely by the third day, as much as they loved seeing everyone, which was a new experience for them. Welcome to our introversion world, writes Aussie Lee. Yeah, extroverts, it seems an interesting leveling out is taking place, even if it may be temporary.
Oh, that is funny and totally interesting, because I do know a couple of introverts who are like, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing some people maybe a little bit.
I definitely hit my my mark where I was like, oh, yeah, now I do need, now I know how long I can go. It's several months, but I definitely need to see someone else.
It's a long time. Yeah. And I hit my like, wow, I really thought that I wanted to be around people and be out on the road all the time and like be doing this and seeing that person. And no. And I'm like,
then you came right back.
Turns out, no. I like the bunker. Damon wrote in with a couple of things. Hey, Tom and Molly, I have two things that I believe are a thing. The first one is spherical ice. That is so true. Mm-hmm. It's the evolution of the square cube. I've seen many different contraptions and trays to help you make spherical ice at home. Most of them seem to be used in drinking whiskey and bourbon. I'm thinking that it's because it melts slower than cubed ice and it looks really cool in your glass. Yep, nailed it. My second thing is more of a question for Tom. Many times I've heard you and Molly try to decipher what Siri thought you said. My question for Tom is, do you use the default voice for Siri? I personally am fond of the Irish woman, but I've known others that prefer the English man. I believe this is one of those things that everybody does but never talks about. Is changing the accent of your digital personal assistant an American thing? Do people in the UK have a Siri with an American accent? I'm interested to learn what voice Tom has chosen.
Oh, I definitely chose the English man. Yeah.
Really? Because
I want Siri to be Jeeves, my assistant.
Oh, that's funny.
Who's there, my valet, my gentleman's gentleman. So,
my valet. So,
yeah. That my Batman. Yeah, that it, Siri is an English man's voice on all of my devices. I don't know if that makes a difference and why it doesn't understand me. I will try start using an English accent when I do reminders on Siri and see if that makes a difference.
And see, yeah.
I'm very curious. I know of one person in England who does have an American version of Siri by choice. Like, you know, they changed it to the American version. But yeah, I wonder if that's a common thing.
So at first I was like totally offended that Damon didn't want to know if I had changed my Siri. Like he assumed the only dudes changed the default voice. However, the only people I know, now that I'm thinking about it, the only people I know who have changed the default voice are dudes. Like my son changed his. I think my boyfriend changed the Google voice. Yeah. Fascinating. Cause I never have bothered. That's true.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. It's feedback at itsathing.me. Let us know one way or another. And then Afi James has a crypto thing. I seem to be seeing a bunch of celebrities doing commercials for cryptocurrencies and a lot of stock trading apps. Next up, NFT commercials. Oh, my. Yes, Afi James. And Molly, I believe you highlighted another aspect of this on Twitter today regarding the fact that all of these things seem to be targeted at sports.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And therefore, men. Speaking of which, right? And
also known as people who change their Siri voice.
Uh-huh. Exactly. If you change your Siri voice and you're invested in crypto and you saw a commercial
NFTs.
For a John Cena NFT, you may be the target demo. But yeah.
Oh, man.
I guarantee. Yes, NFT commercials, good call. And yes, definitely during the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And no, that is totally right that crypto is targeting the bros.
I think it is so fascinating. I just find it fascinating. Like, I'm sort of just like, why is it the target demo?
There's probably a combination of industry bias. There's probably just a lot of men in crypto.
Right, totally. STEM. With girls don't understand it.
Actual, like, demo research, right? And there's probably a little, like, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy driving the data itself.
Sure. Like when you make a thing, you know, by bros and for bros, you might as well keep
it appeals to the bros. Yeah.
Because they like it. Right. No. All their bros are doing it.
Yeah. I hasten to add, I don't think that means crypto, NFTs, or blockchain, or any of those other buzzwords are only good for bros. I think they're good for lots of different things, but that does seem to be the marketing.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I find fascinating. It's like, Is it intended to be a widespread adoption thing or I don't know. But this conversation is very relevant today on the day that we all learned that the Staples Center is going to become the crypto.com center.
Yes, I have purged the word staples from my entire vocabulary. I will now be referring to collating papers with a device as cryptoing. my flour, butter, those are my cryptos. I because I live in Los Angeles. I have to, you know, I have to join in. I have to do that.
You do. You do.
Yeah.
Feedback at itsathing.me. Thanks to everybody who wrote in. And now it is time for the best part of the show, the shout outs. Those of you who support us at patreon.com/itsathing at the shout out level and get your name on the show. But you don't just get your name on the show. It's not like we read it. We're not like, you know, like punching a clock here. No, no, no.
Yeah.
This is a custom artisanal shout out situation. Each one is unique.
Small batch. Everyone is different.
Everyone is different. Thank you, producer Rich, for putting these together. This week's shout outs are based on a description, appropriately enough, to the upcoming holiday of poultry from the 1947 Modern Family Cookbook.
All right. I'll take the first graph. Here we go. Morris Jones makes any day a holiday. And like Benjamin Forrest, it's becoming steadily less of a luxury. Did you know that Lee Price is fast scrambling down out of the Kevin Sill class? Nowadays, almost any Eric Duncan can manage it for Thanksgiving. And if you want Jake Woods for cold slicing in the middle of summer, Gabriel Cohen is available then, too.
Small, whole, white Louis Saint-Amours, cooked and scooped out to make nests for buttered green Mike Akins, make a fetching James C. Smith and a pleasing patron dish. Try the holiday Miranda Janelle with a homemade Andrew Bradley and a garnish of Joe Hood jelly slices and oranges.
Oh my gosh. The subtext here is so amazing that... the reason the turkey is a Thanksgiving thing is because turkey was special. You could only afford it once a year is kind of the implication of the text here.
Right.
And it's not anymore. Now that it's 1947, anybody can have turkey. I was going to say the same thing.
I'm like, I just learned so much from this. I did not know that poultry was previously an out of reach dish. Everybody was just doing like lamb or some cheap thing.
Or brisket.
Amazing. Also, I noticed a couple new patrons at the shout out level in here. Miranda Janelle and Andrew Bradley. Yay. Thank you.
Very cool. Very cool. Good to see y'all.
You're the best. Thanks to everybody who listens to It's a Thing and supports us at patreon.com/itsathing. You can join us in the Discord every week when we record live. We'll see you. We will not see you next week. Programming alert. We are taking Thanksgiving off.
Thanksgiving is a holiday.
Thanksgiving is a holiday. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Set your calendars.
Keep emailing us, folks, though. Feedback at itsathing.me. You're going to find a thing at Thanksgiving. You know you are.
You
feedback
are.
At itsathing.me.
Bye.
Bye now. To the beat of life.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.